Hey, please welcome Melissa Sargent. Hello, everyone. My name is Melissa Sargent, and I am a state representative here in the Capitol building. I need you to know that because of you, change is happening. Your voices are being heard. I have unfortunately heard from so many students across the city of Madison that they are afraid that their voices are not being heard. But I can assure you that the movement here in Madison and those all across our great country are being led by students just like you who are linking arms and saying it is not okay that we have grown up in a generation of school shootings. It is not okay, and enough is enough. Our lives are worth more. You are powerful. You are causing this change to happen in a way that my colleagues and I in the State Capitol building have not been able to. And it is because of every single one of you who is working together. You are fabulous and you are powerful, and you are the sea of change that is going to travel around our country. Something unique is happening here. It's not going to be easy. There are days when you will be frustrated. There will be days when you will be annoyed. There will be days when you will feel like it is not making a difference. But I assure you, look at the people standing next to you. Look at each and every one of them. You are the change makers that we have all been looking for. And I am so proud of each and every one of you. And I will elevate your voices in any way that I can so that the laws in the state of Wisconsin and the laws across this great nation reflect what all of us know, that your lives matter and you deserve to be safe in your parks, in your schools, as you play and as you recreate with your friends. You are our leaders, and I am here to follow you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. So those legislators are in this Capitol building. They represent us, and they are here. So if you have a demand, go talk to them. Call their offices. Email their offices. Make an appointment. You guys can use your voice and talk to them.
Power to the people!
Power to the people!
Yeah, let's go! Okay, so our next speaker right now, they're from Derail the Jail, and they are amazing. Let's give it up for Jury!
Hello, everybody. My name is Jury, and I am a youth organizer from Freedom, Inc. I am queer, gender nonconforming youth, and I am a youth surviving in Madison. Today I will be speaking out about what safety should look like for black and brown youth, because being black and brown in Madison is not easy. In fact, it's not easy being black in most parts of the United States. When talking about gun violence and gun control, we have to talk about the impact it has on black bodies. I want to be able to walk in my community without being seen as someone who is suspicious because of the clothes I wear or told that I am too loud. I want to be able to walk in my community without being harassed by people who are afraid of me because of my skin color. I want to walk in my neighborhood without being stopped by police. I want to see more black youth outside, but even playing at the park will get a black child beaten, harassed, and even in some cases shot and gunned down by police. On February 26th of 2012, Trayvon Martin was followed, chased, tackled, and shot by not an officer, but George Zimmerman, a man who was allowed to carry a gun. Zimmerman claimed to be scared and killed a black teenager. March 6th of 2015, someone I can still call my brother, Tony Robinson, who was an unarmed black teen from Madison, was shot by Officer Matt Kenny in his home. Kenny claimed that Tony attacked him when forensics say that it's not possible due to locations of the shots. I am afraid because the police are in our schools now, and when we get afraid of us, they'll shoot us too. Having no cops in school is a form of gun control. The police have proven that they cannot be trusted with and without guns, so why should we have cops in our schools? So today, I want us not only to talk about gun control, but also why cops are in our school. That is what the Freedom Youth Squad at Freedom Inc. is doing. As youth of color, we need to know that our safety is not, that our safety is a priority. This is why we are demanding that cops should be taken out of school and demand that schools invest the money in for cops to be used in, towards youth of color and make sure that we are provided with necessary supplies, food, support, and resources that we need to thrive. And that all families and students have control over school discipline and safety. Come join us Sunday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Festival Fields Community Room, Freedom Rink in DL the Jail is hosting a student organization event called Expel Cops from Our Schools. Come learn and share stories about cops in schools and fight for our school safety without destroying lives of black and brown youth. And remember, you can't talk about gun control without talking about the impact it has on black and brown bodies. Thank you. All power to the people.
Okay. All right. Power to the people! Let's go! Woo! Y'all are beautiful! My name is Deja, and I'm a junior at Madison LaValle High School. Where's my L's up? My L's up, please! Let's go! And I'm Maggie. I'm a sophomore at LaValle. And we both wanted to talk a bit about why we march in solidarity with every student here today. When I was in kindergarten, my mom began to prepare me for what to do in the event of a shooting. If the shooter was close range, I was supposed to duck on the ground. If I was far away enough, I needed to run away in zigzags. I was in kindergarten. This is a five-year-old that she needed to worry about their safety for. Though I was raised in Madison, a city that is considered fairly safe, my mom knew there was nothing guaranteeing my safety, not even here. Just a couple of weeks ago, at La Follette, a sophomore brought a gun into school. He was in there for 3 whole minutes before anything happened. That's 3 minutes he could have shot someone. Even though we know this person and he wouldn't have, that doesn't mean nothing could have happened. The point is, he is 16 and he could get a gun and no one stopped him. And he could come into a school and no one stopped him. We cannot live with this happening. The reality of our schooling is that we've had to know what to do in the event of a shooting since day one. In this country, kindergarteners, these could be your little siblings, these could be five-year-olds that you know, that you take care of, they could be your five-year-olds. Kindergarteners have to learn where and how to hide themselves and their friends from a shooter. In this country, 8-year-olds are afraid of getting light-up shoes because their teacher told them it's too dangerous and the shooter would see them.
Shit, it's like...
In our country, kids no more than 6 or 7 or 8 years old, they have to volunteer to be the one to push a table against the classroom door. And they do so because they would rather die than see their friends die. These are kids that have to face these awful decisions from an early age. In fact, even at this rally, we have had to worry about what to do in the event of an active shooter. We are the only country in the developed world that faces these issues on such a wide scale. We are the only country in the developed world where kids have to figure out what to do when facing almost certain death. We are the only country in the world and the developed country where going outside to a public place could get you killed. We have had over 400 mass shootings in the last year in which 642 people died. That is 642 valuable lives that were lost. People with hopes and dreams and families and futures. And what did our government do? What did our government do?
Nothing.
We sent out 642 thoughts and prayers. Here in America, those lives are just numbers. These deaths happen so often, mass shootings aren't even reported nationally unless more than 5 people die. 5 people have to die for it to be news. When any other country has mass shootings, policies changed. to help the problem, to fix it. But in this country, they want us to remain numb. When we see 17 teenagers die at Parkland, when we see 20 children die at Sandy Hook, the politicians do nothing. Only a sociopath would not see that there is something extremely flawed in the system.
The fact of the matter is, we are the ones who have to go to school every single day with this truth weighing on our shoulders. Gun violence is so prevalent that it is not an understatement to say that when we walk into school, we risk our freaking lives. Some opposed to this rally have been asking what we kids could possibly know about politics. In their minds, kids should be vapid and only care about the latest Musical.ly or Disney Channel show. In their minds, we should be doing the things that kids do. But what these people don't understand is that we were robbed of our childhoods the day and every day since Columbine. We were robbed of our childhoods. We were robbed of our childhoods when our country decided that keeping guns was more important than our lives.
As such, we'll have to be the ones to make the change. We'll have to be the adults we wish we could see standing up here fighting for us. We reject the petty attempts to solve gun violence, like arming teachers, getting more resource officers, setting up metal detectors, and locking all the doors. We reject the idea of keeping kids inside a prison, because school, it's not a prison. And we aren't going to contribute to the school-to-prison pipeline. What we want is to feel safe in our own school, to feel safe in public spaces, to feel safe out here. But we can't now. We want common sense gun laws that keep everyone safe and to keep firearms out of the hands of those who only want to hurt us. We want to cut the bullshit red tape, and above all else, we want no one else to die from gun violence. We're saying no more Parklands. No more Sandy Hooks, no more Columbines, no more.
We also want everyone to acknowledge that gun violence disproportionately affects people of color, and they are often put on the back burner in movements like this. Statistics show that black people are killed at almost twice the rate of their white counterparts due to gun violence. Their deaths are just as meaningful as their white counterparts. Their deaths are just as meaningful. And we will work to ensure that their voices are heard as we implement change. And hey guys, y'all really know how to show up. Let's go. Give yourselves a hand. Let's go. By a show of hands, how many of you guys will be 18 by next November? Let's go. We expect to see you at the polls. Y'all need to show out. We will be the ones who decide the outcome of the next election. We will show up and take a dub at the polls. We're taking that dub, you guys. Regardless of age, and for the folks who will not be able to vote yet, we will not stay silent. Regardless of age, we are demanding with every ounce of our being for gun reform. We are taking a stance against senseless gun violence and proving to the world that we are the change.
And if you don't believe us, just wait until the next election. We'll be the generation of voters and lobbyists and politicians to help end mass shootings. And we won't settle for anything less.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you for those powerful words. All right, next we're going to have Senator Taylor. She's out here on a break from the caucus.
Hello, everybody! You know, I just want to say I am so proud of the students. Where's my sign? We're so support you! We support you! What do you want? What do you want it?
Now!
What do you want?
Gun control!
What do you want it?
Now!
What do you want?
Gun control!
What do you want it?
Now!
Make the rafters like shake in there! What do you want?
Issue affects everyone in a school building every single day. So we have many student speakers out here, but we also want to acknowledge how this affects the teachers. So we have a public school teacher, Tracy Warnicky, who's going to give some words from O'Keefe.
Good afternoon! My name is Tracy Ham Warnicky, and I've been a proud public school teacher for 21 years. And my students will tell you that I care about each and every single one of them. Working in public schools since 1996 means I have led 42 Code Red drills. Just yesterday, my classroom spent 15 minutes discussing the Code Red protocol and then spent 20 minutes practicing it. That is 35 minutes of lost instruction to prepare ourselves for the possibility of a school shooting. Over my tenure as a teacher, I have spent 21 hours, either practicing or teaching about Code Red drills, and I have had enough. I want to stop telling my students that I will do my best to keep them safe, because the truth is, I cannot keep them safe. Enough. I can tell you there is no such thing as a bad kid. There are good kids in bad situations who might make a bad choice, but there is no such thing as a bad kid. Enough! This is an intersectionality issue of gun control, free and appropriate public education for every student, and caring for human beings who struggle with mental health. Enough! Brain research has taught us that our frontal lobes are not fully developed until the age of 26. The frontal lobe, the section of the brain responsible for good decision-making, sound logic that contribute to effective problem-solving. As a classroom teacher with a questionable frontal lobe, I coach, support, and love. I'm compassionate as my youth learn from their mistakes. It is my job to set structures and routines to enhance their growth into adulthood. At times, it's my job to protect my students from themselves. Take the pushpins away. Hide the scissors when they're not in use. Keep my classroom safe. Putting a gun in my hand does not keep my youth safe. Having me carry a concealed weapon designed to kill one of my students is ludicrous and should not be up for discussion. Enough! It is our elective officials' job to write appropriate gun laws that keep our youth safe. Legislators of Wisconsin, you need to raise the minimum wage to 21 to buy rifles and assault weapons, ban bump stocks, limit magazine capacity, and hold businesses accountable for their background checks. Laws like these will begin to be enough. Yeah. Responsibility also falls onto our school districts to build a continuum ed of services for every student to be successful and to receive a free and appropriate public education. Our system is currently a one-size-fits-all system. Students are not one-size-fits-all. Students are human beings. Fair does not mean everyone gets the same thing. Fair means everyone gets what they need. That is justice. And because there is no such thing as a bad kid, when a behavior occurs in a classroom, students' needs are not being met. This is not the classroom teacher's fault. I believe teachers are doing the best they can with what they have, and what they have is not enough. It is the job of the school district to invest in the resources that allow school staff to meet the needs of every student. Teachers need a decrease in classroom size, an increase in the number of SEAs, special education staff, an increase in social workers, school counselors, and school psychologists. I do not need money for guns. Communities, we should not shun those who do not fit society's norms. We need to wrap our arms around them. The more we push people away, the more they will take drastic measures to be seen. This work begins in our schools. But the number one thing that needs to happen is we need to care about each other, listen to each other, be understanding and compassionate to each other's journey. Do not be afraid of the youth. Listen to the youth. Treat them as a human being. There are valid reasons for their behavior. Their behavior does not truly dictate who they are. Their behavior could be a coping mechanism, a way to save face, used to protect them from the world. Every kid matters. Words have power, a concept consistently discussed in my classroom. Words can paint a picture. Words can argue, to persuade, to create an emotion. Words such as dangerous person paints a picture. Words such as dangerous person sparks an emotion. Enough! How does someone classify who is dangerous and who is not? When thinking about legislation, we need to think about our words. We need to think about how we choose to label. We need to think about our internal biases. To the government officials representing us, some of the youth standing here today are voting in November. Dear 45, anyone born before 2002 is voting in 2020. Yeah. Youth are passionate, youth are intelligent, and they are watching you. The choices you are making, the voice rings in their ears. Take it from me. There is power in the youth, and they will exercise their rights in November and 2020 because they know that is their civic duty. Do not underestimate the power of a pissed off teenager. Pissed off teenagers form rallies. They march. They will be heard. They have no trouble expressing their opinions. But that is not enough. Adults, we need to listen to the youth. To the students here today, I'm extremely proud of each and every one of you. As I tell my students, your voice matters. You can be the change you want to see. Use your powers for good. Go out and take action. And you did that today. As John Lewis says, you caused good trouble here today. And don't let anyone tell you that you do not matter. Your voice matters. You matter. You are enough. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next, I'm going to introduce State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming to your house. I'm State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa. Keep coming back to your house. In the 1920s, we marched for women. And in the 60s, we marched for civil rights. And every May Day, we marched for immigrant rights and our immigrant families. We march when we see injustice. We march when we know that there's a problem. We march when we know we can and must do better. And that's why we're marching today. That's why you marched today. We're marching for the 17 people who were murdered with a gun in Parkland, Florida. And we're marching for the 96 people who are shot and killed every day. And the 250 people who are shot and survive every day. For the nearly 3,000 people who've been shot and killed since Parkland. And the more than 7,000 who've been shot and survived. We're marching for the victims of gun violence today. And the survivors of gun violence. Everyone who's lost a friend, a colleague, a loved one due to gun violence. We're here today, you're here today, marching for them, for you, and for us. I'm one of those legislators that the teacher just spoke to, that you guys need to rally and lobby and insist. We see you. We hear you. We stand with you. And we will fight for you. And you must demand it of us. I want you to remember this quote from Margaret Mead. Don't you ever doubt, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. You can. You can. All of you can and will change the world. What you are doing matters. You matter. Thank you for being here. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
All right, next I'm going to introduce one of Wisconsin's gubernatorial candidates, Kelda Royce.
Thank you. My name is Kelda Royce, and I am running for governor because it is time we have a leader who stands up for you and not the NRA. I'm so energized and I am so enthused by the beautiful voices and faces here today. And I think even if Scott Walker ran away from this building so he wouldn't have to look at you, he is going to hear from you in November. Our governor took $3.5 million from the NRA, but it is not too late for him to do the right thing for our children. I am here not because I'm running for governor, but because I'm a mother and a stepmother. And my husband, Dan, and I are here for our children. I have two stepdaughters, Erin and Emily. They go to West. They're right there. And Erin came home, and she said, Kelda, what are you going to do after Parkland? What are you going to do? And I'll tell you what I'm going to do, but I hope I don't have to because I hope Governor Walker does it. We're going to raise the age to 21 to purchase a firearm in this country. We're going to have universal background checks so nobody who's violent can get a gun. If you've been convicted of domestic violence, you are not going to buy a gun. We are going to ban assault weapons, and we are going to have responsible common sense gun reform, and we are going to limit the amount of capacity in magazines. We are going to do this because it's the right thing to do, and it has nothing to do with Wisconsin's great tradition of sportsmanship and hunting. That is separate. There is no hunter in the state who thinks that kids should fear for their lives when they go to school. We have to stop believing the lies that the gun manufacturers lobby is trying to sell us. And we have an opportunity. As we look around this crowd and we see nationwide young people are standing up, you are not asking for permission. You are demanding to be heard. And that is leadership. That is what change looks like. That is what progress looks like. I am so proud to be here as a parent in support of my kids. I thank you all for being here. Together, we are going to be heard. We are going to make a difference. And if we don't do it today, we are going to do it in November. Thank you very, very much.
All right, next we're going to introduce local community activist Ali Muldrow.
How are y'all doing today? Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
The only time I've ever felt like an American is when I'm protesting. So I feel pretty American today. Gun violence is what unites us. There are so many things that try to tear us apart. There are so many things based in our identities. Those are the reasons we've been attacked and we're used to it. But you know what doesn't discriminate? A bullet. We can talk about restricting who has the right to buy guns. We can also talk about restricting the people who manufacture guns. One of the most irresponsible things we do is treat gun violence like it's a natural disaster. Treat gun violence like a fire. This is not a drill, y'all. When I was in sixth grade, Columbine happened, and you know what was supposed to save us back then? Intercom doors. You know what Sandy Hook had? An intercom door. We will not be distracted. We will not lose focus. I don't believe that we will win. I believe that we will work for change. That we will show up for change. That we will fight for change. We will not be turned around. We will not be ruled by fear. We are going to change the world because we have chosen our weapon wisely. We have chosen our voice. We have chosen our ability to stand up for one another. We have chosen love. On the day before Martin Luther King died, Martin Luther King said, "It is not a choice between violence and nonviolence." No, my friends, it is a choice between nonviolence and non-existence. What do we want? When do we want it? Thank you all so much.
Hi, everyone. I am introducing my really good friend, Nimmy Phillips. From West High School. Check her out on SoundCloud.
Thank you for that promo. All right, I wrote a song, but just today, I'm just going to break down the lyrics so you can hear where I'm coming from. And it starts like this. I've been hoping for a better life. So many things that just aren't right. I can barely fall asleep at night, knowing 17 just lost their lives. All the staff who made sacrifice, all these families just got paralyzed. All survivors will be traumatized. So for the injured, I pray you're all right. And he's blaming it on mental health. But what about all the guns on the shelf? How could he shoot up if he couldn't shoot? Trump, wake the hell up. This axis was foolish. All your speeches to me just prove that you're clueless. Right now, I don't care if he's ill, because all I hear is excuses. Mental illness or not, you allowed him to do this because it starts with the law. So what made you approve this? Congress, please, you need to review this. Man, we need gun control, or else this is useless. You think this much damage would occur with a knife? A few could get hurt, but never lose their lives. Man, I'm praying for a better life. But I need you all to stand up and rise, because this country has dehumanized, yet the problem is still legalized. And I hope that you realize change will never be applied if we don't speak up and fight. Man, do it for the kids who lost their lives. I can still see the pain in Florida's eyes. Trump, what if your own daughter died? There will be no compromise. Don't even try to lie. You wouldn't care what Cruz been through if you put your family where he's put them through. F your worldview. Look from their point of view. So I've been praying for a better life. So many things that just aren't right. I can barely fall asleep at night knowing 17 just lost their life. All the staff who made sacrifice, all these families just got paralyzed. All survivors will be traumatized. To the injured, I pray you're all right. And I'm still praying for you, Douglas. I pray for this world. We've seen this happen way too many times. Yes, Mr. President, mental illness is a factor. But please do not ever try to stand in front of America and blame it all on that. Because I've dealt with depression for half of my life. And you have never seen me try to hurt others because of it. There's kids out here who don't have mothers and or fathers. And I've lost mine, one of mine, when I was 12. Many people on a day-to-day struggle to make just enough money to afford the basic needs. We have humans being rejected because of who they truly are. Kids who cannot exceed educationally because of their financial instability. Not everyone gets health insurance, not even close to where that needs to be. Women still getting underpaid. Racism has never gone away. Everyone has their own problems that they have to face. So many neglected and raped, families that don't even feel safe in this country because of their race. And you want to blame it on this boy's past? Wake up, America. We all go through our own struggles, and there's no excuse but the fact that the pain is able to go out and buy a gun. We don't need your apologies. We need you to change the policies. So I need you politicians to stop ruling these mass murders as slip-ups within one mental state. Do you seriously not see the problem of kids and teachers fearing for their lives on a day-to-day by simply going to where they need to go? For our teachers to make their living and for our futures to be heard and to be successful. We will not stop until we feel safe, and we will not back down until this problem is heard.
Thank you. All right, that was amazing. Thank you, Nimi. All right, the next speaker drove 4 hours from all the way up north in Eagle River, Wisconsin. It's all right. Here's Annalise Callahan. Thank you. 12 o'clock a.m., January 1st, 2018. The new year arriving full of opportunity and new beginnings. 12:02 a.m., in Huntsville, Alabama. 4 people become the victims of active shooters across from their local special event center. Shift at 12:02 a.m. in the time zone of Anchorage, Alaska, and the state's largest city would witness its first gun-related homicide of 2018 with the death of a 39-year-old man. In Long Branch, New Jersey, the authorities arrive at the scene where a teen fatally shot 3 family members and a family acquaintance with a semi-automatic rifle. Between the hours of 11 o'clock p.m. and 2 o'clock a.m., more than 6 individuals became the victims of guns in the city of Detroit. In the first 24 hours of 2018, 2 men were killed while 8 wounded in the city of Chicago.
Later in the morning, the shooting and hospitalization of a 32-year-old would be reported in Milwaukee. The first week of 2018 would see four more mass shootings, ranging from Arkansas to Florida, while the remaining weeks of January would count an additional 18. Fast forward to February 14th, and our nation would witness the tragic events of Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, the most deadly shooting since the 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook. Now I'd like to rewind. It is 1791 and our Bill of Rights has been ratified. It is 1791 and our United States Constitution excludes African Americans, women, non-property holders, and many other categories of Americans from being bestowed the same rights that our forefathers once granted our nation. And for nearly 230 years since that moment, our nation's history has unfolded. And the rights that once only included a small and privileged group have gradually grown to include more and more of our population. Our nation has greatly changed from what it was a quarter millennium ago. And consequently, the concept of liberty must be adapted from what it was in a world where the most advanced weapon was a musket, which would take 20 seconds to load and fire. In today's world, 20 seconds is enough time to fire 40 rounds on an AR-15. The same weapon used by Nicholas Cruz at Stoneman Douglas, and the same weapon, which is the most popular and easily obtained gun in the United States. Under current federal law, individuals who are violent criminals, are mentally ill, are drug abusers, or are perpetrators of domestic violence are not permitted to possess firearms. However, the only way to determine if an individual is prohibited from purchasing a firearm under federal law is to conduct a background check. And while the nation's licensed federal firearms dealers routinely conduct such checks, people other than licensed dealers are exempted. These so-called private sellers do not have to perform checks. An estimated 40% of the gun transfers which occur each year in the United States, more than 6 million gun transfers, originate from these private sellers, who often congregate at gun shows or sell guns online. This creates easy opportunities for dangerous individuals to bypass a background check and obtain a weapon. Requiring background checks for all gun sales is a non-controversial proposal that gun owners themselves overwhelmingly support. Addressing gun violence in every sense has become an issue centered not on humanitarian concern, but partisanship. As it was put by Stephen Henderson, editor of the Detroit Free Press, if we required that every gun be manufactured and every gun manufactured be fired and its signature ballistics recorded in a national database, how on earth would that implicate law-abiding citizens' abilities to exercise their rights? Even better, what if we restricted the kinds of weapons that could be sold? What if we limited weapon types and magazine sizes? All of it, none of it would harm the rights of legal gun owners, and all of it would help protect the rights of those who are slaughtered by people wielding guns that are too easily available, too easily distributed, too easily lost, sold, bought, and even funneled into menacing hands every day. I'd like to take a minute to elaborate on the idea of limiting weapon types. Assault-style weapons were banned in 1994, but that prohibition expired in 2004, and Congress opted not to renew it. Yet what reason is there for military-grade weapons such as the AR-15 to be circulating by the millions in the American public? In a 2015 catalog for the AR-15, it was described as ready to perform anywhere. A weapon that combines industry-leading innovation with battle-tested experience to innovate the world's toughest, most devastatingly accurate pistols and rifles, all in our mission to provide elite shooters with the ultimate weapon systems they need to prevail under any circumstance. The intent is clear. The AR-15 is a weapon that was designed for killing in a closed space, the exact function it was utilized for by Nicholas Cruz. Today, March 14th, 2018, marks the one-month anniversary of the devastating events in Parkland. As of today, in the United States, there have now been a total of 14 school shootings. On average, there has been at least one school shooting per week in the year of 2018. As of today, there have been 45 mass shootings,
4,723 gun violence-related injuries and a total of 2,777 gun violence-inflicted deaths. 33 of those deaths have occurred in Wisconsin. Although mileage may isolate us from the tragedy of Stoneman Douglas, the nationwide epidemic of gun violence does not burden the responsibility of installing change only on those directly affected. It is the humanitarian duty of us here today to ensure that this time there is change, that it is real, and that it is tangible. Last summer, I had the opportunity to meet American filmmaker Ken Burns after a speech he gave at the University of Maryland. History, he said, is not just about past events. History consists of the questions we, in the present, ask of those past events so that we cannot help but be informed, however consciously or subconsciously, by our own hopes and fears. William Faulkner said it really well. History is not was, but is. So the future is right now with you. Seize it. I believe that now is the time to act on his words. It is time to act so that we will no longer have to wonder at what point in history the right to own a gun transcended that of 17 students to come home from school. At what point in history the right to own a gun transcended that of 17 students to live full and successful lives? Thank you.
All right, we only have a few more speakers, so bear with us, you guys. I'm going to introduce my fellow organizer and friend, Paulina Baker.
Hi, guys. I'm Paulina. I go to LaFollette High School, and I'm a junior. As soon as I was able to form an opinion on things like gun policies, I did. And arguments I hear about these topics way too often are, it's the people, not the guns, or guns don't kill people, people kill people. These are arguments that I agree completely with. People who have intentions of hurting others, whether it be one person or 100 people, will find a way to. The fact that firearms are so easy to obtain by people who have these premonitions is the exact reason to why we should instill common sense gun control. Implicating the bills we are requesting for will limit availability to an extent where people who are not competent to own a firearm safely will not be able to obtain it. As a personal experience involving my dad, who is a proud, responsible, and educated gun owner who undeniably supports the need for gun control, he has taught me a lot about how fire weapons work and the kinds of requests we need to ask for so that bills being heard will make sensible and will be sensible and most likely have a direct influence on the decline of gun violence. Licensing people to buy firearms like we do for people who want to be able to drive would take care of universal background checks, competence and safety tests, mental and physical health tests. This would, in return, require there to be an extensive path to even be able to buy a gun. After this, for every firearm you buy, you'd have to get a card with a make and serial number for the gun under your name. These gun policies have been observed from other countries like Argentina, where tight gun control policies have resulted in a steady decline of gun violence. We need to start looking at other countries or even states that have tight gun control and compare it to the correlation to gun violence. In addition, I want to speak about the matter that we're all here for. Yes, mass school shootings are a problem in our society, and sadly, it has taken this to inspire many youth to finally take action. But that is not the only problem with gun violence in the United States. Gun violence has been a part of American culture for a very long time, and it is sensible to see why. It's the failure to impose gun control laws as gun technology began to progress. Gun violence has swept low-income and or minority neighborhoods for decades, but because of the trend in our lawmakers, the problem has been ignored within our society since until recently it has not majorly affected the white Americans and their children. In terms of race and ethnicity, according to the Lustin School of Public Affairs, it is said that 77% of white gun deaths in the U.S. are suicides, while 19% are homicides. The figures are nearly opposite for African Americans, for which only 14% are suicides. African American males in the 20 to 29 age group have the highest risk, 89 per 100,000 people, in terms of the firearm homicide rate, which is comparable with Honduras. In cities where areas are divided socioeconomically, there has been a presence of guns and violence occurred. This correlates to black and Latino communities in populous cities like Chicago, where areas are condensed with minority groups. I also want to mention what the lax gun restrictions in place in Wisconsin now have allowed. People who have domestic violence records to easily obtain guns. Things like gun shows and private sellers are allowed to trade and sell firearms without even having to do a background check or officially record the trading of the weapon. We need necessary universal background checks as well as documenting the selling and or trading of firearms. The difference between the countries who have a low gun homicide rate and the United States is that they have progressed as a society by making gun control laws. On April 28th, 1996, in Tasmania, Australia, the worst mass shooting in their history happened. Within months, the country implemented new licensing requirements, a 28-day waiting period, and a firearm registry. Since then, there's not been another mass shooting. I think that the biggest reason why we haven't taken major action to prevent mass shootings is a belief that it is our inherent right to bear arms, the U.S. being one of only three countries in the world that has it as a right. Maybe it is our culture. The thought of gun ownership is seen more as an entitlement rather than to a privilege that has to be upheld, which is why so many people are opposed to reform. But we all have had enough. The time to make a difference and progress as a united people is now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So our next speakers are from Middleton High School. We have Mass Presta Giacomo and Amuna Saleh.
Like many of you, every night since February 14th, I have found myself watching video after video of the Florida high school where 17 innocent souls were gunned down by a student whose name doesn't deserve to be said. And like many of you, every night I stare completely baffled and at a loss of words because on the screen of my phone I'm seeing classrooms and I am seeing hallways that are spitting images of the classrooms we sit in every day and the hallways we walk through every day. It is a reminder that it could be our school on the news. It could be one of our classmates walking through those front doors with a gun in hand. Scratch that. It could literally be anyone walking through those front doors with a gun in hand. And you know why? I think we all know why. Because that is the cost we pay for the lack of gun regulations our government has allowed. It is the cost we pay for the simple fact of that in the ears of the politicians, the voice of the NRA rings louder than that of the American citizen. But we will scream, and we will shout, and we will demand change, because we will not allow it to be our school on the news. We will not be next. We will not be next. We will not be next. We will not be next.
We are here today because there are individuals in that very building that have proven to us their inability to keep us safe. It is time that we call out our elected officials for falling through on their promise to keep Americans safe. 1999, two teenagers murdered 13 students and staff at Columbine High School in cold blood. 2012, a teenager opened fire on Sandy Hook Elementary School, killing 20 innocent children and six adults. 2017, a man fired on a crowd of people at a concert in Las Vegas, killing 58 and injuring 851 people. 2018, a student at MSD High School in Parkland, Florida, killed 17 students and staff. Remember when you, our elected representatives, promised never again and gave us your thoughts and prayers? Yet to this day, the victims of this shooting and all those before are still waiting, waiting for you to take action on gun violence once and for all. We cannot accept this. Our government is stuck in a perpetual loop of inaction, and it's time for our generation to stand up and say, enough is enough.
Why did it have to come so far? How many more souls of innocent students and teachers will we have to say goodbye to? Why can't we bid farewell to bump stocks instead of our brothers and sisters?
It's strange how instead of focusing on ways to prevent school shootings, we instead focus on how to prepare in the event of one. We have gone through drill after drill in preparation for the events our politicians have failed to prevent. It was their responsibility to provide us safety, and they have let us down.
I could stand here and I could list the cowards who have left so many families broken, but I'd rather stand here and recognize the innocent and beautiful souls that were lost on February 14th of 2018 in Parkland, Florida. You've heard these names before, and I hope you continue to hear them. Alyssa Al-Hadef, Scott Beagle, Martin Duke Anguiano, Nicholas Dorette, Aaron Feist, Jamie Gutenberg, Chris Hickson, Luke Hoyer, Kara Lauren, Gina Montalto, Joaquin Oliver, Elena Petty, Meadow Polak, Helena Ramsey, Alex Schechter, Carmen Shentrup, and Peter Wang. Let those names resonate within you, because those are the names that fuel our fight for change.
It is easy for politicians and adults to dismiss us for not understanding complex political issues, but they should talk to the 3,000 students at MSD High School who ran for their lives from a student with an AR-15. There is nothing complex about that. They know firsthand what gun violence is, not the politicians. No longer can our politicians use the excuse that the young don't understand. Know that once we are elected to office, we will accept the responsibility of protecting our children and our children's children from gun violence.
In my lifetime, there have been 31 school shootings at a rate 19.5 times higher than that of all other developed countries. The NRA, however, believes that 31 school shootings is an acceptable price to pay for protecting 27 words in a document written when assault rifles and bump stocks didn't exist. Human lives should never be an acceptable price to pay for anything.
We are frustrated and we are afraid for our lives. We've grown up side by side with gun violence, and those in Washington have proven to us they cannot keep us safe.
So let us scream and let us shout and let us demand the change we want to see. Together, we stand here in solidarity with those who have lost their lives at the hands of mass murderers. Today, we are here today so that we will not be next. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. And I really want to thank you guys all for being out here. And we have a few more amazing speakers. So if you can just hang on for a little bit longer. Two more amazing speakers. All right. We have... and then, okay, we have Kate Hauk King and Chloe Baumbach.
Hello, my name is Chloe Baumbach, and I am a senior at Memorial High School. I am from a white, middle-class family, and I am privileged enough to have never experienced gun violence or its repercussions firsthand. Although I have never experienced the resulting violence, I have been around guns my entire life. For as long as I can remember, I have been told that guns are dangerous and should never be touched unless I am in the company of a trained adult. For all the 17 years of my life, my father has been a police officer and occasional hunter, keeping guns that ranged from pistols to hunting rifles to semi-automatic police weapons. Until the past decade, where school shootings have become increasingly more prominent, along with various escalated cases of police brutality, I never saw guns as the enemy, just the people who harness them. Recently, that mindset has changed, for guns are the issue. Just two years ago, my father took me to the shooting range to learn how to shoot a pistol in case I was ever in a position where I needed to protect myself. And let me tell you, that tiny thing had a lot of power in and behind it. It's terrifying knowing how strong a pistol can be, and then seeing people walk into schools with military-grade weapons, releasing several rounds per second onto unsuspecting students, just hoping to make it home without too much homework at the end of the day. At 17, I should not have to watch my brothers walk out of the house wondering whether they will make it home or not. Knowing that untrained professionals can get their hands on these weapons is sickening. These guns are military grade and should only be harnessed by military personnel or highly trained officers for SWAT situations. No person should get to walk around holding somebody's life in their hands. The time has come to put an end to the madness. It has been far too long that guns have been forgiven for the destruction that follows in their path. It's time to wake up and do something. Go out and vote, call your local representative, educate yourselves and others. But stop pretending it'll go away if we ignore it. Our lives are worth more than that. Thank you.
Oh dear. Okay.
Hello, my name is Kaylin Hout King, and I'm a senior at Memorial High School. I'm also an 18-year-old African-American adopted into a white middle-class world. I grew up sheltered from the world of gun violence until middle school and when my cousin was gunned down on the streets of Chicago. He was exactly how old I am now. My eyes were immediately opened. I was stunned to learn that I had no clue. I had no clue that high schoolers, kids just like me, could walk around armed and ready to shoot at any moment. I was even more stunned to learn about the flawed series of steps it took to acquire a gun. Seeing the effects it had on my family made me realize that something needed to be done. So that is why I am here today. I am here for the parents, scared to send their children anywhere because anyone could walk in and end their child's lives. I am here for the siblings, hugging each other extra tight because any school day could start with the ring of a bell and end with the bang of a gun. I am here for my fellow students because we need to feel safe in our place of education. Finally, I am here for the lawmakers, to show them that something needs to change. Kids are dying. We are dying. How many more before we get your attention? How many more before our voices will be heard? The numbers are climbing, and I soon fear there will be no more voices to hear. We need change now. So please, adults, start voting. You start speaking. Never stop fighting for change. Thank you.
All right, our last group of speakers, Amayu Adari Selassie and Zainab Nafeen.
Hey, what's up, guys? Oh my God, y'all made it through like 20 speeches. I competed forensics. I can barely make it through three. Like, honestly, I can't. So, my name is Zainab Nafeen. I'm a senior and I go to West High School.
And my name is Amayu Adari Selassie. I also go to West High School.
Right, so I'm one of the organizers here at West High School, and I'm going to be honest here. As someone whose parents fled the Middle East due to the instability and the violence of the government, gun control is probably one of the only reasons why I'm even here.
And as someone whose family fled Milwaukee for the fear of instability and increasing gun violence in my surrounding neighborhoods, this is one of the reasons why I'm here.
See, now although we come from different backgrounds, we face the same unique problem together.
My parents craved that assurance, right, of their family's safety and the promise that their children would be able to grow in a protected environment and be able to contribute to a better world. However, I fear that's a promise this country can no longer make. We are a country that is home to nearly half of the entire world's civilian-owned guns. When the reality is that in 2017 alone, there were 355 mass shootings in a 365-day year. We've come to a reality where our guns infringe on our basic rights to live in a safe country.
I don't know if many of y'all know this, but Milwaukee is the most segregated city in the nation. Growing up, playing outside wasn't a privilege that I had. The threat of gun violence in the surrounding areas kept my family fearful of my safety. It was my mother who took initiative in leaving Milwaukee with the hopes of giving our family a more secure environment to grow up in. The first time I was told I could step outside and play, I realized what a blessing the promise of safety was. Living in Madison today, I've encountered a new side of childhood that wasn't available to me in Milwaukee. The true ability to learn and grow in a nurturing environment.
We must stop and realize the severity of the status quo. When will we stop sending prayers and start taking action? When will this American nightmare turn into the American dream that the children of immigrants, such as myself, believed in and was promised to the citizens that reside in this nation? The time for change... The time for change is now. No more lives need be lost to the complicit actions of the officials we've entrusted with our safety.
Today in Madison and Wisconsin, the privilege of safety is under threat as lobbyists pay our political leaders massive sums of money to maintain their interest in the gun industries. It feels as though we as a society assume that Madison and Wisconsin is a bubble. We're shielded from the horrific threats that we've seen nationwide. And yet, there are still kids who aren't being given the chance to explore what the world has to offer as the threats of violence are still imminent to them. We cannot remain complacent by allowing our leaders to go unquestioned. I'm here today to remind you that there are so many outside of this bubble that suffer, and the threat of gun violence is still relevant. The severity of this issue only increases with every year and will only get worse if we do not take action as the next generation. This is our job.
We must be the change. Continued silence is something we simply cannot afford. The next generation of voters will never allow another Sandy Hook, Las Vegas, Virginia Tech, San Bernardino, Parkland, Florida, and many others that have occurred to ever happen again. We are a generation. We will be the generation to end gun violence. But is that really what we wish to be known as the generation that lived through it? That the generation that let it go too far and did nothing about it? Throughout history, we constantly look back at the older generations and we criticize their complacency and their inability to have taken any action when it was needed most. But the irony is, we're making that same mistake right now. Now is the time to act. And we will not stop pushing for our legislators to formulate common sense gun laws.
This is why we are here today. For that reason, we are here making our voices heard. We have drafted a letter.
We have drafted a letter to Governor Scott Walker and company. We won't read it because you guys have seen a lot of stuff already, but we promise you it's good. So, right now, we would like to ask you guys to take 17 minutes of silence while we go into the Capitol. Never mind. I'm going to turn this over to somebody else. Thank you guys all for being out here today. We made a huge impact with this many students coming out. So, after this, 11 of us are going to go deliver the letter to Scott Walker. And then, if everyone has... Yes.
I'm back, y'all.
So, what we're going to do is we have a letter drop. adopted, and we are going to bring it into the office, and whoever is representing Governor Walker today is who we will present it to. We've compiled a list of signatures throughout the march and throughout you guys listening to these speeches, and those are the voices that we will represent today.